This is Laps and Littles, a conversation about friendship and faith in the midst of motherhood. Life with littles is better when we do it together. So grab a load of laundry and join us for some laughs.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
Are you bouncing on a yoga ball?
Yeah. I've gotten to the point too where I where I'm trying really hard to only sit on the floor rather than like a couch. Because that like is like helpful with the hips. But I have been, how many days have I had my treadmill? For every day I've had my treadmill, I've walked on it vigorously 10 to 15 minutes and done my rosary, which doesn't sound like a ton cardio wise, but it's been a lot for me. A little incline as well. But
and how are the stairs now?
Oh yeah, the stairs have been fine. And I haven't even had that pain of the pelvis stuff for a few weeks now.
Oh, good.
I thought
that was like constant.
Yeah, it was for like 3.5 weeks and then it just kind of like went away.
Oh, wow.
So I'm assuming it'll come back like at a more appropriate time in like the third trimester, not like ridiculously early. But as of now, yeah, thank goodness. But yeah, we don't even have a chair in our bedroom anymore, which is like where the real office desk is. I just have the yoga ball now. So, but you're still swimming? Not yeah. This week, but
well, wow. So the last time I went was like probably a week and a half ago. And that last time I was like, oh, doing the flip turn, I felt like, okay, yeah, I'm starting to feel my abdomen weaken, you know, the ab wall is weaker. And as I warmed up, it like felt better, but I was just like, okay, yes, this is coming where the flip turns are going to be really cumbersome. And Chris was like, are you going to, like, how long are you going to keep swimming for? And I was like, till the end. Like, I can just slow down. Yeah. I can just go as slow as I want to.
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking about it being cold, but it's not that cold.
It was freezing. Yeah, that was terrible.
That sounds awful.
The water was way too cold. So hopefully when it reopens, it's back to normal because I did start adjusting to it. Like the second time I went, I was like, okay, this isn't as bad. I think I just got, you know, mentally used to it too. But it was really cold.
Well, I mean, I do my crazy, like ending my showers with cold water.
I know. I was like, I'm doing an ice bath. Yeah. Like this is good for amazing. My immune system.
And if I can't do my whole body, I'll just at least do my hands and my feet. We're keeping the house at like 66 right now, but then keeping the fireplace on all day is trying to like save money on utilities and like just get everyone to buck up and wear jackets. But I'm like, I've been cold all day the last 3 days. My body's not adjusting quite so quickly. I'm like only warm if I'm working out or taking a shower or in bed. I'm just already at the point at like 23 weeks pregnant where I'm feeling so slow. It's like getting up is slow, getting down is slow. Everything is just like really, really slow.
I feel like, so I'm 17 weeks now. I feel like just in the last week or so, like I'm like visibly pregnant and I'm like feeling more pregnant and showing the world. Yeah, I'm just kind of like, it's obvious that I'm pregnant. Now I'm like, I'm embracing maternity clothes and like, here I am, which I think is like a normal timeline. But I've just, because I knew about this pregnancy so early, I just feel like I've been pregnant forever. So I'm like, wow, I'm finally wearing maternity clothes. I don't know. It's like a weird.
Okay. But so funny. So I got the treadmill off of Facebook Marketplace so that I could walk and do my rosary. And then you cracked me up. Tell me why you hate treadmills. Cause I feel like that's such a strong Annie opinion.
I hate treadmills cause I picture my experience with treadmills is trying to run 3 to 5 miles on them.
That's the first problem is running.
I hate it. It's like, I want to be running outside, but for whatever reason I can't be. And I'm on this treadmill and it's so boring. And I just like, it feels like the longest 3 miles of my life because I'm on a treadmill. So I'm just like, blah, treadmills are the worst. If I'm going to do some kind of machine equipment inside, I want to do anything but a treadmill.
Totally. Running on a treadmill feels like a hamster cage wheel.
Yeah.
I just don't run.
Yeah, my breathing is like, I can't get in like a good breathing rhythm. It's just like, yeah.
How was your New Year? Did you stay up?
No.
Yeah.
But it was great. We just hung out. And Chris was watching the Ohio State. There was a big college football game.
Okay.
I think we drank hot chocolate whiskey and watched it together and talked. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cute. Like in commercials, we were like reflecting on the on the year and thinking about the new year. On my retreat, I took time to think back through, like do my like reflecting on 2022. And that was a really nice time. So by the time it hit the new year, I was like, because sometimes in the past, I've felt like this scramble of like, oh, I didn't get to reflect, or like, I didn't get to like, actually this year, I didn't really think about making goals or resolutions at all.
Yeah.
And actually, it was a really beautiful day weather wise. So we got out in the afternoon to a lake that we don't usually go to. And Kiara got a new bike for Christmas. So we were like, I was like, everyone bike, this is a good place to bike. And that's kind of actually been like a big part of my last few days is teaching.
Yeah, I saw that on your stories.
Teaching kids how to ride two-wheel bikes. Because Kiara learned before Zaylee did. Just this is all in the like the last few days. Kiara got this bike that's like a...
And she's almost four?
She's 3.5. It's like a great transition bike from a balance bike. Because she's got the balance bike down, but she's outgrowing it.
Yeah.
So it's this little lightweight bike with pedals, which... As when she gets on it, it feels like a balance bike. And then they just pick up the pedals kind of amazingly quickly.
Okay.
So she started doing it. And Zaylee was so sad and so jealous because I hadn't taught her how to ride a two-wheel bike yet. And I had all this mom guilt of like, oh, no, I didn't like, I feel bad. I feel bad for you, Zaylee. Yeah. Like you should. Yeah. And so I went through this whole thing of like trying to find her the same brand bike on Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, I found one. My mom was going to help me pay for it. I was going to drive there on Wednesday morning. And then this morning we just like went out to practice on, and I gave her Evangeline's old bike to use, which in my mind was like way too big for her. But when she got on it, I was like, actually, this is, fits you really well. And she learned how to ride the bike in like half an hour. She can do it, two wheels. And so I was like, great, don't need to buy that new bike.
Oh, good.
This whole saga.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. It was just like this fun moment of like, oh, it's really fun, like teaching your kids to do things and seeing them learn a new skill. And all three girls are riding bikes. Yeah, it's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, Paul picked up the bike thing like a year and a half earlier than Clara did. But his bike is a little bit too big for him. So he does need help getting it started because he physically can't quite get on. And I feel guilty every time of like, I should probably get you another bike that's a little smaller. But I'm kind of just waiting for you to grow 2 more inches. And like, it's fine.
That's what Zaylee still needs to practice quite a bit is the starting.
Yeah, because they're short.
Yes.
Well, we also did not stay up till midnight. I have so few memories of staying up till midnight. Even in prior to kids, it was never the absolute goal, especially being in California where like the ball dropping is like our 9
We'd
p.m.
We'd be like 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Cool.
Great. And now it's not. Now 12 is 12. But still, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Last year, I made the resolution to listen to Bible in a year, the second year that he did. And I made it about a month and a half. And then I stopped consciously.
I think this might be my year. I haven't like fully committed. I'm like testing it out. But I've almost finished day two and it's day two.
Cool.
I just found myself like desiring just in the last 2 days. I wasn't like, I'm going to do Bible in a year. I was just like, I want more scripture in my life. Like I'm feeling this like desire to be grounded in scripture. And I got AirPods for Christmas.
Yes.
So I was like, ooh, Bible in a year. Use my AirPods.
Cool. And you can just even do one AirPod.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to find still a good time to do it,
but sometimes I'll just do like a braid on one side of my hair if the kids are like 75% like independent, and then I just hide it under my braid so that if they do come in and need me, then they're just not visible. They're just a little older now, so I can kind of get away with that. That's exciting. Yay, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time I did the second year was when I started meeting with my spiritual director more. And I just felt really overwhelmed by, like, she was like, you're doing too many things. You need to just like focus more on prayer. But now he's doing catechism in a year.
Oh,
so don't do that this year. But, yeah. But I thought that might be interesting. And then that made me think of, we met this friend a few years ago who he grew up as a very strong atheist and a very well informed, intelligent person. And he decided to like read the whole catechism and just through that converted. And I was like, yeah, I've definitely, you know, especially not growing up as a Catholic, I'm sure there's probably like 80% of the catechism that I've never read. I've read the compendium, which is just, you know, like the shortened version of the catechism.
I skimmed through the UCAT, the like youth version of the catechism when I was converting.
Yeah.
Because it's just a little pictures. More user-friendly.
Yeah. But yeah, I have no resolutions this year. I feel like I used to be really like grinchy about New Year's of like, ugh, like it's just people getting drunk and getting in car accidents and staying up late. And I hate staying up late. But like then messy family parenting kind of talked about like use this as the, you know, time to look at your budget, time to do your family board meeting. And so I feel like I have a much better spin on it, but I'm still like, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's a big deal. It's like Mary, the mother of God, and that feast day on January 1st. Like that was a big deal in our house. And we made that a big deal. And we like celebrated that. So our kids, we were like, it's a new year. And they were like, why? You know, yeah. Like they don't understand the calendar thing, especially the two little. So
yeah, that's still funny to me. I'm like getting it used to it now, but for several years, it would really catch me off guard that this like holy day of obligation was on January 1st. I was like, whoa, yeah, everyone else grew up with this? Like January 1st is the day you like sleep in because you've stayed so late. Like everyone else grew up with going to mass on this day. This is new to me.
Well, it's not always on a Sunday though.
True, but don't you? Oh, it's not a holy day of obligation. I thought
it is a holy day of obligation, but it doesn't always fall on a Sunday.
Right.
Like it might still go to mass. You still have to go to mass. Yeah. You're still going to mass the day after staying up really late. Yeah, absolutely. But it might be a noon mass or a 5 p.m. mass.
Yeah.
To us, we were like, great. Like two stones or one stone?
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah, there we go. One stone. Oh, yes. Okay. So I wanted to talk about the spiritual communion prayer, which is on our Patreon. You did the calligraphy of it, just like with the morning offering.
I mean, I only knew about that prayer because of COVID.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's when it came onto my radar.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, it's not a regular part of my prayer life.
Sure, sure. I learned about it. It was like in the Book of Prayers in the church where we converted. And so I got used to praying it rather than going up to get a blessing. The kind of like vibe and culture of that parish was also like, this isn't really a time for blessings. It's a time for receiving the Eucharist. And, you know, it's not like that was like the teaching, but that was just kind of the culture and the vibe of it, which I do really respect. So I just got used to, like praying the spiritual communion and then didn't for a few years because I was like, oh, I'm receiving. And then got back into it in the last like 2 years. And now I pretty consistently pray it as like the start of my midday prayer. And it's just like, that's like how I introduce my morning prayer with the morning offering. I introduce my midday prayer with spiritual communion. And I was like looking today to see if like, I know I've like read great things and heard great things and talks about like why spiritual communion is so great. And I was kind of frantically like, can I find a chapter in this book on it or something? And I was like, no. I don't have like a bunch of academic information on it. What I just have is like my kind of just like simple conviction that we as Catholics, we believe that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith.
Your sexuality is good, holy, and beautiful. If that doesn't feel true, you're in the right place. We believe Jesus knows your sexual brokenness and is inviting you to wholeness. We hope to bring you that invitation every week as we explore topics from friendship to fantasy, loneliness to lust, and more. We are dedicated to helping you connect your struggle to your story and your story to God. because every bit of you is sacred by design.
So communion being like the full source and summit. So we should want, like, that's like the pinnacle of our encountering Christ, the desire to receive him daily, just as like the desire to like say, I love you to our spouse, or like be open to receiving our spouse every day. But we can't get to Mass like 365 days a year. So it's just a really, you know, very real way to kind of like, yes, like I accept that you are really here, that you can, that I can receive you spiritually right now, even if I can't receive you sacramentally. It's shorter. I feel like it's a little bit shorter than morning offering even. And to acknowledge that, yes, the Eucharist is our source and summit.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like a reorientation back towards the Eucharist, even if daily Mass, mm-hmm. like I will get to daily Mass today, isn't, even if that's not right. on your calendar.
Right. It goes, my Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most blessed sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Attributed to Saint Alphonsus Liguori.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just love that. And I love in the same way that I wouldn't just say, oh, I've said I love you to my husband once already today. Like even on a Sunday where I've like been to Mass and received, or on a day I've been to daily Mass, like I still want to do it at noon because it's like, I still love you. I'm still, you know, in the habit of it. So yeah, I see your calligraphy of it every day. Pope Benedict. Pope Benedict is like before our time.
Mm-hmm.
So when he was like passing, and we were getting the news that, you know, like to pray for him, I was like, kind of like, isn't he really old?
Isn't he already like, dead?
Isn't this already, like, I knew he's not dead. He like kind of retired because he was really old, right? Like, wasn't that the day? Like, it's just kind of before we became Catholic. So I was like, oh, okay. He passed. Pray for us. Like,
he just didn't want to be Pope anymore. It wasn't just that he was old.
Why didn't he want to be Pope anymore though? I thought he didn't want to be Pope anymore because he was like, I'm getting too old for this. I can't serve people anymore as I need to.
My understanding was he was always way more of like an introverted academic type.
Mm-hmm. This cannot be the full story. There's got to be.
I know. It's definitely not the full story, but like, I want to go live a life of prayer and theology.
Okay. Well, you should look at that. So when he died, I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I was like, it felt like I should feel more sad, but I didn't because I was like, I don't know him.
Yeah, I felt nothing.
Like when Pope Francis died.
When you were like, Pope Benedict, I was nothing. Like, what do you have to say about Pope Benedict?
I think for a lot of people, it is a big deal. You know, my Paul's middle name is Benedict, but that's after Saint Benedict.
The rule.
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, it's not quite as connected. You know, Alex is going through process of applying for PhD stuff right now. And someone told me like, oh, like ask Pope Benedict, like, to pray for him. He would be a really great intercessor. I was like, oh, okay, cool. So that made it a little bit more real for me. Cool. So same page.
Yeah. I mean, I love everything I've read that he's written.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't that much, but when I read
that,
like,
you've read, he's written a lot.
Sorry. Yes.
Just clarifying that.
I've read. I haven't written.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't written that much, but I just feel like when Pope Francis eventually dies, that will be a much bigger deal because that's like we have the experience of him and we like
our
know
first
him.
Pope.
Yeah, our first Pope.
With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your order at ChooseLife.com.
Choose Life has rosaries, rosary decades. They have the silicone beads for babies to suck on that are really safe. They've got the beads for moms to wear as bracelets that you can slip on really easily. Just all of your rosary needs can be met.
With the code LAUGHSANDLITTLES10, you can get 10% off your order at Choose Life.
This was a big day in our house because Paul wore underwear for the first time today.
First time ever?
Yes and no. yes, in the sense that actually yes. No, in the sense that like when he had been potty trained for like 2 or 3 months, we had a few days where he was in like normal underwear. And then you know, like all of his really sensory sensitive stuff we have been seeing slowly grow since he was about two. And we just like didn't push it then. And then it got to be just, it got to be more and more bothersome every time that we would try. And then we just like didn't try for a year. And then we tried a few different types like 6 months ago, and he'd put them on and he'd like, it looks like he's on fire.
Mm.
So Alex took him to Dick's Sporting Goods and got him like compression shorts because he needs like that. And which like Alex was like, I remember being that way as a kid. That's what I needed as well. So he went a whole day and wore them. So it's very exciting. They're just a lot more expensive than regular underwear. But I do think he needs them. I do think he's very sensitive sensorily. So, and I've just been worried of like, oh my gosh, you cannot go to kindergarten next year with no underwear. Like, when are we going to do this? Like, we got to do this. And it's got to be. So Alex finally made the time for that, took him out, took him to lunch. They went to the gym. They did the thing. So let's hope it continues. I wasn't sure of like how much to make a big deal of it. Like, this is so great. And how much to be like, yay, normal. Good. I'm not going to make this a big thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I tried to land more so on the not a big deal side.
I don't push underwear either. So Kiara often at home doesn't wear underwear still. Sure. She'll, you know, just pants. But luckily, yeah, I was a little worried of like going off to school. Are you going to fight me on underwear? But she didn't. Maybe it's in her mind. Like, this is part of the school uniform. Like, you have to put underwear on.
Oh, man. And Alex got him today to poop by himself. Mm. So not with me sitting there or watching him. And that's great. And I'm so grateful, you know, for that like husband and dad figure, because I don't know. I had a big breakdown about Paul this weekend when I met with my spiritual director of just like, I was like, honestly, this kid takes up so much of my mental energy, so much of my just like time and trying to figure out how to help him, how to be the best mom for him. And I have woken up a few nights in the last few weeks and then like been worried about him all of a sudden. And that's been a great cause to pray. And I'll just totally start to pray in Our Father and Hail Marys and eventually fall back asleep. I don't stay in that state of anxiety, but I am like, when I was talking to my spiritual director this weekend, I was like, I just feel like I'm obviously worrying too much. I'm worrying too much about him going to kindergarten. I'm worried because I feel like no one, and this is going to sound silly as soon as I say it, but that like no one else is going to know how to respond to him in the way that's like correct and right. Mm. I think in the way kind of like, because I feel like he has some special needs. And in the same way, if like a parent with special needs is like sending their kids off, like they want the teacher and the people around them to be sensitive. And a few weeks ago, some friend of ours had asked him a question. And I could see in his mind, like him starting to get the answer out. And after like 9 seconds, she kind of just like answered it for him or like moved on. And with me and my teacher training and just maybe like just a little bit more patience or just knowing him, I know kids take like anywhere from like 10 to 30 seconds to answer. And I was like, oh man. And then he just kind of like shut down. Mm. And I was like, oh, you know, so the fear that like stuff like that's going to happen to him. Yeah. So I was just like worrying a lot about him. She was just so great. She was just like, he is God's. This cross that you're, you know, bearing with him is like exactly what God has set for you. Like this work is bringing you closer to God because you're having to like draw closer to God. And like, it's okay if one of your kids takes up way more of your mental energy. Like, I know you're consciously trying to make sure it doesn't affect the whole family and that it's not a source of strife, but like you're doing your best. And like, this is the family that he's supposed to be in. Your son belongs to God. So I was like, okay, that is really great. Mm. It's really affirming. I just need to hear that like every 2 months.
Every day.
Every day. Yeah. And remind myself that every day. But yeah, so Alex was like, no, he can poop by himself. Because I've been also frustrated. And I've mentioned to you that he's like been reverting in his like potty training.
Oh, I don't think you have.
Well, just like how he like sometimes randomly just like poop in his pants, just like a smear.
Hmm.
and then freak out and have just the biggest meltdowns about it and super angry at me, blaming me. And so I've gotten in this habit with him of like working with him of like, okay, we need to, anyway, the point being that Alex is like, no, he can go today by himself. And he did. And I was like, great, that's fine. Like sometimes I don't know when to push and I don't know when to like back off.
Yeah.
Or be helpful. Cause I'm like, I want to help my kid if my kid needs help, but I don't want to like smother my kid. And it's hard to make that choice sometimes. So thank God I have other people who can also help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Alex is like, he's totally whines more around you. And I was like, well, so what do I do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He was like, well, and he was like, he wants to be a big kid. And I was like, well, I'm happy I'm having this baby for some reasons. I'm so excited to have a baby. Don't let me be pregnant. So excited to have a new baby and a new sibling. Because I do think that will be so good for Paul of like, he will want to step up as an older kid, a bigger sibling, which he hasn't super wanted to do before.
Yeah.
But with the compression sorts, Clara goes, they're so great, Papa. Paul totally likes them. It's just a shame they don't have a penis hole. Like being in Alex is like, well, if he's sitting down, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that. How long do boys pee sitting down for? Like how tall is he? Could he pee standing up like forward? Or is it just like once they're physically tall enough?
He would have to have a stool.
Be a stool. Yeah.
So, okay. I haven't answered your polo, but this is a good. So you're about to potty train John. The thing about boys is that you do then have to teach them how to first just sit. Like number one, we're just sitting on the potty chair. That is your only option, is sitting on the potty chair. And you have to put your finger and like point your penis and point it down. So like point the penis was like the phrase we always used. But then when Paul got a little bit older and more capable, then he could sit on the toilet facing the flusher and then pee sitting down that way.
Because then he didn't have to push the penis down or point it as much.
Exactly, exactly. And I think he used to stand up a little bit more and just had that choice. But he just always sits down like a normal dude now on the toilet. I think the thing that always trips me up about potty training is remembering that as soon as they want to start going on the potty chair every time, they want to take off like all their clothes every time. And I'm always like, why are you taking your shirt off? What's happening? And then being like, okay, I'm just going to let this go. You're going to get naked every time, or at least all like your pants and your socks and your shoes are going to come off every time. Like you don't understand that you can just push your pants down. That seems to be a very natural kid thing. So you can be prepared for that. Yeah. I don't know, because Paul was like so quick to get it. And then he literally night trained himself at 3, which was like, I did nothing. I don't remember a single accident.
I know. It's funny to me that you brought up poop, because this is really on my mind, the potty training.
When are you starting that? In a few days?
I think a week from today.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. I was like, wait, not when Chris is gone, right?
Not when Chris is gone.
For 4 days.
No. But John, his words, like he's at that fun point. I just was like, I'd like 20 months. Like he understands everything. Yeah. And the words are starting to pop out more and like surprise us. And I'm just like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I believe you can do this, John. This is going to be hard, but kind of fun.
Can he push? That's a great attitude. Can he push his pants down by himself?
No. I've been trying to be a little more conscious of like, as I'm putting his pants on him, being like, help me pull them up. Mm-hmm. And he will do that. But I haven't actually asked him yet to push them down. And it's hard because he's still in the cloth diapers. So it's hard to push his pants over those big bulky cloth diapers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it'll just be like a whole new world once diapers are off.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, are these pants even going to fit? Like, got such a big butt right now with the diapers.
Oh, your Teams of Our Ladies starting up soon?
Yeah, it should start up soon in February. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. We've been seeing one of the other couples who's in it at Mass and just chatting briefly after. Like, we didn't know them at all. Anyway, getting to know them a little bit more. And I'm just like, yeah, this will be cool to have some new couples in our life and the older mentor couple. We actually got handed off to like a new older mentor mentor couple. So we're going to meet with them in January, but I think they'll be good too. It'll just be cool to like have older people in our life. My retreat was so good. Can I just say that?
Of course.
Oh,
I thought you were going to be bored.
I know. It was like within half an hour of getting there, I was like, this is the best thing ever. No one asking me for anything. But yeah, I got to pray the hours with the monks and then eat meals with them. And the food was really good. And then just do my own thing. They just like totally left me alone and had a great little room to read in and walk around the grounds. And it was so nice. And I was like, this is my like off season. Like, you know, I don't have a baby. I'm not nursing. I'm like resting up, preparing for this next year. It was good. And then we were gifted the Word on Fire Liturgy of the Hours booklet that they mail you each month for this coming year. So we just did night prayer from that for the first time last night. And it's like, obviously the same prayer. It's the Liturgy of the Hours. They just like compress it into a book to make it so there's not the like flipping back and forth of the ribbons, which Chris knows how to do. But I was just like, let's try this. And I think the idea was to like get us to hopefully maybe pray morning prayer together, but to figure out if that'll actually happen. Yeah. But it was cool getting to pray the hours with the monks and then and be like, oh, yeah, these psalms have become, some of them particularly are familiar to me from the times when I've done this. Yeah, it was just cool. It was just cool. And so trying to keep that going at home with Chris.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of goes with the scripture, the desire for scripture thing, because it's like the psalms, the tiny little reading, singing the canticles. It's like all scripture. Yeah. Can you tell me something that made you laugh this week?
Yes. So Cece was talking about when Dominic comes out, she's going to breastfeed him. And I said, well, when you are a mom, you can breastfeed your own baby. And Paul was like, when I'm a dad, Cece can live with me. And then I laughed. And I just feel like my kids have been fighting so much lately and bonding so much lately. They're either like at each other's throats or they love each other. All of three of them. They all love each other so much more. And then in 1 second, he looks at her and he goes, can I teach you how to poke your eye out? What?